and away we go. It is a Getaway Friday, April 23rd, 2021, 18 minutes past the hour here on a Friday morning, and you are tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. Now remember, this show is heard live every Friday from 11:10 a.m. until 12 noon. It repeats on Sunday morning, 8:10 a.m. till 9 a.m., and Wednesday afternoon from 3:10 until 4 p.m. Also, you can get past episodes, archived episodes available on the website, wwgh1071.com. Just click under Program Archive and scroll down, I think it's the first show, to the Pastor Spot, and you will see all the shows dated and right there. And now we turn it over to the host, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Friday.
Beautiful morning. Beautiful morning out. Hopefully it'll warm up soon. Can't believe we had snow this week and quite a bit of it.
You know, even Tuesday night, the night before it all happened, people really felt that it wouldn't happen. And I was one of them, to be honest, because the ground was so warm.
I didn't think so either.
But it did. It did.
I got up at the night and saw it and then turned around and on the in the morning, it was like, oh, where did this come from? But, you know, it left so fast. I think by lunchtime, most of it was gone.
Yeah, it really was.
Kind of nice. I'll tell you, it's been an interesting week.
It has.
Announced Sunday in church that I wanted to, I was going to take a week, a me week. No vacation plans, just a, I don't take much vacation time. And I decided to take a week and kind of regroup a little bit. I think every now and then you have to do that. It's not that you don't love what you do and you don't love the people that you do it with, but every now and then, as things begin to pile up, you start doing bits and pieces of what you were doing full before. And it's nice to sit back and say, okay, what do I need to do, and where's my mind need to be? And really, to be honest, the focus of this week has turned out, as I didn't plan, has turned out to be more focus on taking better care of myself. And that's kind of the focus that I came out of it with. And didn't know where it was going to go, but that's kind of the way things went. And that entails a lot of things. So, what about you, Scott? Do you ever have those moments?
Oh, you know what? I am not good with vacations. I was telling somebody that not long ago, that in the 7 years of this radio station, I think maybe 4 or 5 days in the entire time that I've missed a day during the week. And, but you do, when you do take a little vacation, like I did a few weeks ago, I took off a Monday here to go to Pennsylvania and New York, and even though there was some work involved with that, it's fun, and it gets you away from what you're doing, and even though you love what you do, it's nice to do something else.
Yeah, it seemed like you had fun on that trip, too.
No, you know, it was such a learning experience, because I had never been to Hershey or Philadelphia,
okay.
So to go to both in the same swing and learn about all the Milton Hershey story and the Hershey factory, but then also to see all those historic things that are in Philadelphia was a lot of fun.
You know, a lot of people think that history is kind of with them, and it just depends on personal preference. A lot of them think that history is kind of, it's kind of wasted time and stuff that's already happened. But I know with myself, I love history, and I love seeing what was there prior, and what, because it's history that builds us and brings us to where we are today. And it's really neat. I love some of the nostalgic back when pages that you can get to on social media when you're just relaxing and wanting to read something, because it's really neat to look into past history. I had a book and I lent it out, shame on me, to whoever I lent it to and didn't remember, but I had a book that was written probably around the early part of the 20th century on the history of Marion County. And what was really neat about that was, now, to us, the history of Marion County would have went back to that time when it was written. This was written to look back from that point. And it was just some really neat things, some funny anecdotes and things that went on and different characters that moved into the area and helped form what we have here. But, you know, my focus that I also found this week as I studied and looked a lot and studied in my mind and the things around me and what God's already taught me is I need to focus on what He said. And need to focus. There's so much stuff going on right now. I want to read a passage from Revelation chapter 22, I'll begin in verse 7. It says, "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And then it goes on again, now down to the word of Christ again, where it says, "Look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest to these things to you for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star." And you know, when you read that and you think about that, there really is. And when, of course, when he's talking about washing in the white robes, that's metaphorically. And, you know, that cleansing process where we want to cleanse our lives from the things that are wrong. And I think that so many people get so caught up today in the unjust, the falsehoods, all the things going on, that it's kind of like you can take everything and put, like, the wheel, let's look at the Wheel of Fortune. Put all the things going on today, and each category, each number as a situation, you could just about spin that wheel, and there's a real good chance it's going to land on the falsehood, and because there's so much of it going on. And we have so many people that don't know what to believe, so they choose to not believe anything or believe whatever because it really doesn't matter to them. Sadly, you know, I believe and I know there is absolute truth. There is truth that is just plain truth. And our young people today, one of the reasons that they buy into your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth, is they've seen so many things that are false that are being put out as truth. And it's really sad. We're living in a very, very, very confusing time. Just the situations that we see on television and what's going on in the news. We see people reacting to something in a way that those of us that have been around any time on Earth for a long time and have seen and could actually compare decades, well, you'd scratch your head and say, wow, how did we get to this point? And there's a lot of that going on. And I think that what people have to understand that is when you separate Jesus Christ, separate your life to Jesus Christ and surrender to him, there's a lot, you can reboot. In other words, you don't have to buy into all the things that have made you bitter, have made you angry, have made you hostile, have made you maybe argumentative, wanting to argue and fight all the time. And, you know, regardless of where you come from today, you have to admit that it is not healthy to be in a contentious mind all the time.
You know why I think people get in a contentious mind is because they, humility, they're very fragile souls, and they do not take criticism well, and they do not take... they think everything's a personal attack. So their way of lashing out at that is, I think, to be contentious with everybody around them. It's a funny... It's a true story, and I'm gonna tiptoe around it because I don't want to name one of the people in this because, you know, who wants to do... I don't want to be contentious. But what happened was... And I've talked to you about this off the air. At one point, we were having an issue with somebody who we had paid a bill to. Mm-hmm. And that person claimed that they did not get that payment for that bill.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. So they were claiming this, and they claimed it to other people, and it went on for about 2 or 3 weeks. Well, it's very interesting because after our association ended with that person, they cashed that check that they didn't have.
That they didn't have.
But it created a contentious environment for about 3 weeks because they denied that they had it, And some people said, well, I don't know if they got it or not. I don't really know. Well, you know, you can see it's cash now.
And you know, the way that you handled that, you could have gone on air and just got started a range war, but you didn't.
No.
You just sat back and let it play out. You know, we've talked many times on here about, I always say that the truth always will surface to the top. It always does. You can't hide it. It's going to happen. And I think that's one of God's universal laws, that truth bears out over falsehood. And it reminds me of a time, I know a fellow that was just not paying his rent because he didn't want to. And he was losing, the landlord had finally had enough, and after practically a year, started the eviction process. And this guy started telling people that, you know, he was being evicted. He was going to have to move because the landlord didn't pay their mortgage payment and the house was being taken from him. So they gave him a notice to move, which was a total falsehood. I knew the people that owned the house. And as a matter of fact, the house didn't even have a mortgage on it. It was paid for. And then, of course, the truth came out. And all that eventually, but initially it was like, oh, this poor guy, you know, and you know, that just wasn't the case. Now, that does happen to people. Evidently, he'd heard that before and figured it was a good story to use. But truth will always bear out. It always will bear out. And I do believe that we're in a difficult time. Obviously, whether the return of the Lord is today or in 100 years from now, we are closer, and Scripture tells us that it will, the day will always come closer. That's inevitable. That's an obvious, because with our life, you know, you're not going to die tomorrow, but you are going to die. That's a given, and you don't know when. And so if someone says you're going to die, you say, no, you're lying. I'm not going to. No, you are. And your physical body at some point is going to give up. You know, unless the Lord returns first, that's what's going to happen. And I think that people sometimes get so caught up in worrying about events rather than welcoming the events that will come down the road. I'll give you an example. If you're scared to death of dying, you're not going to be a very effective person. You're not going to do a lot of good things. You're going to spend all your time worrying about dying. If you know that day is going to come and you accept the fact that when that time comes, that'll be that time, you know where you're going, everything's fine, you're going to spend, hopefully, the next rest of your life being productive, because that's not going to be an albatross around your neck pulling you down. And I think that in many things that we look at today, I do say when it comes to our country and what's going on, and nothing parallels anything exactly, but we just have to look. If we don't look to, we've heard this before, if we don't look to our past, we're doomed to repeat it. And we look at other nations that have risen and fallen, and you say, what did they do? What were some of the things that led to their demise? And I think that we can look at our country, and we can find some parallels there that lead to our demise. But for some reason, people are so stubborn that this time it's going to work. I'm going to do it my way anyway, whether it's going to, you know, you see that happen with little kids. You know, they don't always learn the first time. Well, that might have hurt, but I'm going to do it again because this time I'll get, you see what I mean? And people do that all the time. It's kind of like the guy that's always kiting checks. You know, he's, well, you know, it didn't work this time, but this time it's going to work, and my windfall is going to come in, and I'll pay everything off, and it isn't going to happen. Well, you know it's not going to happen. He's eventually going to end up ruining his financial life. He's going to go to jail and all those things that happen. So I think that we really need to stop and slow down. One of the things that, let me just ask you this question. You already stated that you don't take many vacations and that you don't take time. But are there times when you can take some time and you've seen that it's done you some good, like the trip to Philadelphia? And
oh, yeah. And I noticed that a lot. And even if sometimes it's just a short weekend trip to a place, I mean, you feel so much better. I think sometimes, and it's some people's work is very fun and some people's work is very mundane to them. But either way, there are days that you don't like. You know, that was not a pleasurable experience.
Right.
But, you know, once you get into the real life, and your real life is always when you're with people and doing other things, you really don't think too much about that other stuff.
Right, exactly. You know, it's, hey, Adam, how are you?
Pretty good, yourself?
Good. Hey, excuse me. And I'm seeing this with people that are really, some people are really starting to, we've talked about this before, during this time of the last year, a lot of people grabbing a hold of some things they used to do they don't do anymore that are more simplified. You know, we talked about last year you couldn't find gardening supplies anywhere because everyone was buying them up and doing things at home. Now, one thing I've noticed interesting this year is if you look at any of your camper lots, RV lots, there's one down on 23 that sells campers and RVs. 3 months ago, the lot was packed. They're down to a quarter of what was there. People are saying, how can I do things closer to home? How can I do things a little more simple? How can I rein in what's important and not be rushing constantly? I've often said that Satan's two greatest things that he uses for himself is fear and busyness. Because if he can have you in fear, you're paralyzed. And if you can have you in busyness, you can't slow down to think what you should be doing that's right and wrong.
You know what's interesting about fear? Now, if, and a lot of people fear consequence. That's, I think,
that's the greatest fear.
The greatest fear is consequence.
Everything.
Yes. But it's funny because if you know somebody who's facing a consequence, if they believe they are deserving of that consequence, now they'll never admit that, but if they believe they are scared. They are petrified.
They are locked in.
They are locked in. But if they believe that they are not guilty of the consequence and not deserving of it, they don't seem to be as frightened. You know, I think about marches that used to happen in the 60s when people would march. You know, they knew they were going to be arrested at these sit-ins and things.
But they were okay with that.
They weren't frightened. They weren't frightened. And matter of fact, a lot of them got the billy clubs to the heads and ended up in the hospital. They weren't fearful. It didn't stop them.
Yeah, interesting thought. I'd have to put some time into that one to think before I would respond. But you're right. I mean, they did. But then again, you have to understand, besides that attitude, there's a lot that comes through mob mentality. When you know, one, I'm afraid. Two, well, maybe we can... You know, I got a backup. When you get a mob and that starts growing, all of a sudden fear seems to go away. Whether you're in a right position or a wrong position, mob mentality can really be fed on. We've seen that, you know, or decent people will, for some reason, do crazy things because they're caught up in the moment.
Well, I think that when you start doing damage to other people's property, that's a different thing. If you, because you know, hopefully
your motive. Where's your good motive when you're damaging other people?
Yeah, you can't do that. But if you are just marching or you are just sitting in somewhere and you get arrested for that, I think those people are really not fearful because I think they're doing it for the right reason. Now, that's a whole other thing because was it the right reason? Well, that's everybody decides it. But really, everything is personal. If you believe it's right, then that's as long as you're at peace with yourself like so many other things, you're fine. Simple as that.
Yeah, and the way you're thinking and coming across the time, I think that there's still an obvious right and wrong, and you know, you might be a little off in the head and be doing something, you know, pretty bad, but you're at peace with yourself because you think it's okay. Well, now you got a problem. You know what I mean? There are people that have. It was interesting. I was watching a TV show last night. I think it was Chicago PD. Interesting crime drama. And these guys were three guys that were loan sharks, and they were partners. They were older guys, and they ended up getting killed by someone's life. They destroyed their son, killed him. But anyway, but at home, these guys, you know, they were church going. You know, they had the crucifix on the wall. you know, their spouses were wonderful, kind ladies, and they were generous to their friends and to people they knew. And you see a lot of that. And I think there's a lot of reality to that when you go back to that lifestyle and what those people did. Now, they were all pretty comfortable with themselves and just pleased as punch. But what they were doing was incredibly wicked and wrong.
I think we have a live studio audience in here today. It's a little different.
They're bouncing all around.
I've never seen it. It's like Grand Central Station all of a sudden.
Very good, Steve. So nice to meet you after just kind of chatting on Facebook.
And yeah, good to see you, buddy.
You told me I always look, I'm older than you thought I was. Do I still look youthful for my age?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
It's all, radio is very good for your health. The more you're on the radio, the better you look.
Oh man, I gotta stay on here.
You gotta stay on here.
Stay with us, Steve.
Be here for. Yeah, it's we've done this show, and usually there's nothing, and today it's all of a sudden.
Bobbin and Terry's over here off my left shoulder, and it's good to have everyone in here today.
Yeah, it's nice to have people around.
At least I don't have to worry about someone sneaking up on me.
The irony: you play Family Feud, there's no audience, but then you have a religious show, and we have an audience.
Yeah, that's right. Live studio audience. That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right?
I would. The man above will be very pleased.
Well, I better tell the truth, right?
You better.
I will, Steve.
Go ahead, call me out on it, you know. But no, it's funny. People, there are people that will get in their mind that something is they're content with. That's really not something good to be content with, and we see that when we start. Isn't it interesting that things can sometimes seem okay today that 20 years ago people would have just said, oh, I don't believe that. And it's all kinds of things. I know we always want to jump to the big issues, that are out in front. But even things in the background, like, well, in the church, you know, someone showing up and out. Could you imagine someone in 1950 showing up to church in shorts and a T-shirt? Huh? People just be appalled. But what was really crazy, there was some conditioning that went on for centuries beforehand to bring them to that point. Because the thing that always got me was, I can guarantee you, when the apostles were walking the streets in the early world, in the early Christian world, they were not dressed like the Pharisees. Think about that a minute. But then all of a sudden we get up to modern day, and people think that you have to dress like the Pharisees to go to church. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, what did Jesus call them? Dead men's bones, in their whitewashed robes and all those kind of things. But it's interesting because a lot of times society conditions us for things that we begin to think is right, and then all of a sudden someone comes along and tests it a little bit, and then you go back and say, well, was that really the way it should have been? You know what I mean? When I was a kid growing up, nobody, if you went to the movies, no one better find out. Isn't that funny?
Well, that's right. But, you know, this formality of the way people dress, I can't remember what brought this up earlier in the week, but one morning I was having a conversation about that. And some people are still sticklers about it for certain things.
And that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as far as in our church goes, you know, if somebody is comfortable wearing a three-piece suit and just looking dapper as can be, or a lady wants to dress to the tens, I welcome it. They look great. It's fine. If somebody wants to come in the door, and it is nice to, I suppose, when you're coming to worship God, you want to present yourself with your best if you have it. But a lot of times someone's best is they've got a nice wash T-shirt and their pants are, you know, but what if they're not? You know, then we have to say, you know, I hear people say, well, I really don't care, you know, what someone wears to church as long as it's clean. Well, what happens if they don't have a way to clean it? What happens if their water's been shut off? What if their washing machine broke? What if maybe they're living out of their car? Are you going to, I mean, you know, we poo-poo things. I guess that's a poor sense of word. We discourage things. We look down on things that sometimes I think we almost ought to ignore. Now, if someone is intentionally, you know, they have all the means in the world, and they're coming in with maybe some questionable things they're wearing that have some questionable things written on them, you know, that's just disrespect, I believe. And I don't think they should do that. But I think we get caught up in a lot of things that really are not they've allowed us to, Jesus called them whitewashed tombs, excuse me, not robes, whitewashed tombs. And think about that, a whitewashed tomb. A whitewashed tomb is still a tomb. On the inside, there's still a rotting corpse, right?
That's right.
And that's what he was referring to that. You know, a lot of people, they look great going to church. They look great back in the day when Jesus walked the earth with the Pharisees. They looked great. They gave out loud. They did everything out loud so people could look at them. But inside, their heart was black as coal. And I think that, you know, that's what we have to look at. Are we doing things because they're popular, or are we doing things because they're right? And that's something we all have to answer.
Well, I think so, and I think people would rather be, in this day and age, oddly enough, popular. They like the adulation of what certain things bring them. And you can tell because they're not willing to admit a mistake. But you know, it's funny, when people do admit mistakes now, people jump on them and say, oh my goodness, you did that? Well, you're just awful.
Yeah, you know, some people want to come clean, but they're afraid to.
Well, they are.
They're afraid to come clean because, you know, you're right. I think we should applaud that when people do that and come out and be honest about the truth. I mentioned this on the last show. I always appreciated Charles Colson and what he went through with Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he turned his life around. He started Prison Fellowship. Did wonderful things the rest of his life for men and women in prison and families at home. And but it came, it started with coming clean and not worrying about, you know, it's nice to be at a point in your life when coming clean is more important than what anyone else thinks.
That's right. And if you know what the real story is, then it doesn't really matter what somebody else says.
No, it doesn't.
No, and you know, it's it also can depend on who's writing the story. You know, in the world of Facebook, pay attention to who's writing the tale, and that can tell you a lot.
Absolutely. I saw an interesting post the other day that I really appreciated. Matter of fact, I shared it, and it said, bringing up my past, because I'm not there anymore, because I've surrendered my life, I'm doing what's right, I'm doing what I should, I have a clean heart, said, bringing up my past or putting it in my face, however you want to put it, is kind of like robbing a house that I moved out of 10 years ago because you think it's mine. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're past that point, and that goes back to what you said about people feeling if they're right, they're okay. Because if you know that you're right, if you know that you're doing the best that you can possibly do, it really doesn't matter what people say about you because they're only doing it for their own benefit. And the bottom line is when people get to know you and know who you are and what you're made of and what you do through what you're made of, they don't buy into that stuff anyway. You know, the Bible tells us that a rotten vine cannot produce good fruit. It takes a good vine to produce good fruit. So if you're producing good fruit all the time, you're probably a pretty good vine. And a rotten vine can have some momentary flashes of good fruit, but then they rot right on the vine too. And we have to keep that in mind for ourselves to understand what's this person really doing? Are they doing? It's interesting. I saw someone the other day had said something about there was a girl that had asked, a friend of ours had asked, what were some of the things you guys wanted to do growing up compared to what you're doing now? Very interesting, right? And, of course, almost no one is doing what they intended on doing. But it's very interesting how many of the things that people wanted to do were occupations, different things of that nature. Now they may not be doing that, but they're doing what they should have been doing. You see what I mean? They've walked that road. They've done those things. They're making the best of what God has intended them to be through how he designed them and made them. And I truly believe that He had a design on everyone's life, and the only reason that we don't see it is because what we do with it. And obviously, one of the comebacks to that would be, well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what... No, I don't. And they don't usually know what I've been through or anyone else has been through. And it's not necessarily the hand you were dealt, to put it in a card phrase, but what you do with the hand you were dealt.
That, you know, I that's one of my favorite expressions is, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do about it. You can't control what's going to happen to you, but you certainly can control how you handle it, how you respond to it, and I think that really reflects more your character than anything else.
I was talking to a fellow yesterday that has had a very, very... I don't know about his personal life. I don't know him personally that well. But I know he's had a very successful family life, a very successful business life. He's done a lot of philanthropy is one of his philanthropic, there you go, philanthropic things he's done. And but he grew up with nothing. I mean, literally, he was dealt a pretty bad hand from birth. But what he did with it. You see what I mean? Something interesting, too, that's very interesting when it comes to, you know, the parable about the rich young ruler and Jesus when he came and said, Master, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, and of course the guy says, I've obeyed all the Ten Commandments, and he hadn't, obviously, but Jesus let that one slide. And then he said, well, I'll tell you what, he said, Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come back and follow me. Now, that was interesting because what he was telling him to do was to let loose of all those tangibles that were holding him and making him somebody, and then give it to Jesus. And what's really funny that struck me about that when I was listening to it this morning was that Jesus didn't tell him, give everything you have to the church and let us distribute it, and then and follow me. He said, go give everything you have to the poor and come back empty. Isn't that interesting? Because what he wanted him to come back to him with was with an open heart and nothing else. And that's what God really calls us to come with. And I don't think that people can understand that true feeling of letting go of past and doing a 180 and changing future until they realize they have to come clean and they have to come empty. They can't have things tying them to those support ropes that aren't so good, that are greasy. They got to learn to let go of those things and literally come with a clean slate and a clean heart and realize I can't do this stuff on my own. Until I did that, I just fumbled along. I had so many successes in my life, but I had equally as many, if not more, failures. And I had to get to the point where I said, okay, God, let's just do this your way. And then all of a sudden, the successes began to more outweigh the failures. And on top of that, the failures don't hurt so much because you're back to that point in your mind that this failure doesn't define me. This failure doesn't mean anything about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's just a momentary failure. First of all, can I learn from this failure? And what do I learn and go on? And if I got to hang on, if it's going to be there a while and I can't get rid of it for a while, at least I know that that doesn't define me. And when I let God define me, I can move forward.
You know, and as we talked about last week, not to go back to this, but there was so much talk last week about the Warner's conviction here locally, mm-hmm. and that lives were ruined. Well, I will go along with that to the point of temporarily. Things are not very good.
They can come out of there better than they ever were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? And this is one of the other things I think about life. In the moment, you think it's the worst thing that could ever happen. But if you look back in 5 years...
It wasn't.
Okay.
I mean, people say, oh, they're never going to shake the scourge of what they did. And you know what? In some people's minds, they won't. But if they do the right thing with their lives, decent people will understand and forgive. It's the people that don't like themselves that will not let it go. Because the reason when you attack people, the reason you attack people is because you're trying to make yourself feel better about your own shortcomings. And I truly believe that.
Oh, so do I. And I think, you know, some people sometimes will even take honest statements that you're forced to make as criticism. Mm-hmm. Because they are so, they're like a peach. You know, they bruise very easily because it does reflect back on them.
Right. And constructive criticism is great. But I think even you, Scott, can tell the difference between constructive criticism and somebody just trying to throw a dig your way.
Oh, yeah. Constructive. First of all, constructive criticism doesn't happen in public.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were going to say, but that's the thought that came into my mind. Yeah. It doesn't. Constructive criticism is you go behind closed doors. You know, when the Bible talks about handling conflict with someone, you're to take another brother and go to them in private and discuss it. That's how conflict's to be handled. And I don't think we've done a very good job of that.
You know, that is simply a rule to live by. If you see somebody making a criticism in public, you know they're doing it to publicly try to hurt the other person. They have a choice. They could do that in private. If they really believed it, you can find that person, you can approach them, and you can say, why did this happen? And you can work your way through it. But when you do it,
doing it for the right reason, and you really care about them, they're going to know that.
Of course, they will
see that.
Of course, they will.
You know, I know a family right now that the entire family has not been in church. They are now, but they hadn't been in church in probably 25 years. And the reason they haven't been in church in 25 years is because one of the girls in the family found herself in a compromising situation. She apologized to her family for it. She gave it to God and apologized to God for it. But back way back then, the church wanted her to come forward and confess it to the church and ask for forgiveness. Can you imagine a teenage girl in front of the church telling her discretions to the congregation? Can you please tell me what that benefited anyone? You know, she obviously was sincere about her repentance, but the church's feeling was, if she's really sincere, come on. Half the people in that church were going to take it out and gossip with it, that they did, and they were probably gossiping anyway. And that drives people away from God. I know that I'm going to get some heat for saying that, because some churches believe, boy, you got to... I know of another family growing up in church, the husband and wife, there was an adulterous situation on her part. They made them come before the church and confess it, and the heat got so heavy and the talk got so bad that neither one of them ended up, they left church completely. And where was the love in that? Huh?
Well, see, and that's the sad thing. That is the shame. But you know what? Other people think they're going to get something on them. It's weird. When something negative is said now or done, or something negative does happen to you that you absolutely do, people will, it's weird. People like to tell you about it. As if you're not aware that it has happened. It's a very strange thing. You know, last weekend, I had a meeting with somebody, and they had talked to a member of their family about something, and their family had criticized it before it had even happened, before they had even made this change. And I always say, if you're trying to make a change in your life for the good, and you believe it's for the good, don't tell other people, because I don't think they mean to be negative and throw cold water on you, but they do. They do unintentionally, because their motive is they're worried about you. They want you to stay safe.
Yes. A pastor gave me a book one time, and I wish I could remember the title. He just gave it to me to read, and I gave it back. It was years ago, and because I'd love to have it for other people to read. It was something like, I'm going to say it was something like Giants in Our Midst. And what it was about was you deciding to step out and do something in your life, and all the people around you that will stand in front of you so that you can't see the forest for the trees. They're the trees. And for various reasons, it's because they care about you. Some don't want you to succeed. Some wish they had taken the same step and aren't. There's all kinds of reasons, but you're right. I think that many times when you make a real decision, sometimes you need to have a group of people that know you, trust you, and love you, and you need to share that with them for support. But yeah, I understand. There's people that will definitely try to bring you down for the right thing.
You know, I remember one time, and I don't remember how many people remember this show, The Facts of Life. Very popular television show. Mm-hmm. I interviewed, she's gone now, but Charlotte Ray, who was the star of that show. Right. She was Mrs. Garrett. And the show was on for 9 years. Now, she left in the seventh year. She was not on the last 2 years. And I asked her in the interview, I said, why did you do that? Why did you leave a successful show? That the show was started because of her. She was the star. And she said, you know, after 7 years, I just wanted to have a normal life again. I wanted to go back and do it. But she said the producers came to me and offered me a lot of money to stay on those final 2 years. And she said the people around me all said, take them for everything they've got. No. This is your chance. It's only 2 years.
Too bad.
But she said she loved going and doing local plays those 2 years and not doing it.
There you go.
And that's an example to me.
Yes. Find your roots, folks. Find your true roots, who you're designed to be. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker, and the show is The Pastor Spot. I'm the pastor of Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our Sunday morning Sunday school hour is 9:30. Our service time is at 10:30, and we have a 6:30 Bible school hour along with a midweek service. If you want to reach us, call 740-494-2222. God bless you guys. The show's been great today, Scott.
Yes, and I do want to let people know again that this airs live every Friday morning from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. Repeats on Sunday morning from 8:10 until 9 a.m. and then again on Wednesday from 3:10 until 4 p.m. And you do want to go to the website wwgh1071.com and go to Program Archives, and you can see every show dated back to the beginning of The Pastor Spot. I believe it's the first show under there, and you can listen to all of them, and they are all very, very good and very, very informative. And also, if you're out of the listening area, wwgh1071.com, or download the free TuneIn app, which is absolutely free on any mobile device, and you can listen anywhere in the world. Let them know again, Pastor, real quick, what time service is on Sunday?
Service on Sunday is at 10:30 in the morning, and we do have programs for kids, so I encourage you to come.
Everybody stay well. Have a good week. We'll be back here next Friday morning.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.1 FM. From Charlie Evers.
You know, you could